Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from englishwithkirsty.com. I'm Kirsty, and I support multilingual professionals to discover their voice in English. On the podcast, we talk about language, learning, and intentional communication. We hear about my guests' language journeys and share tips that help you communicate in a way that makes sense and sounds like you. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And this week we have the second part of our series on games and learning languages and working with games, whether you're teaching someone else languages or learning them yourself. So we had quite a lot of people who were interested in being part of this episode. And in the end, I decided to make two groups because it's easier to get to know people better in smaller groups. And so that's what we've done. We have another three people here. One of them I know a little bit, the other two not yet, but we will know each other by the end of the podcast episode. And so I'm going to start by asking everyone to introduce themselves. So let's start with Sonia, because you'll know her voice from the previous episode we did together. So Sonia, let's find out who you are, what you do, and why you're interested in this topic about games. Okay.
So my name is Sonia, I'm 31 years old. I am an English teacher. I'm also a translator. I was a translator before I was a teacher. I am an interpreter, and I also tutor kids from the 5th to the 11th grade in English, Portuguese, and history. Well, in the end of the school year, I always try to do fun games in English, basically with the children, because once they finish their test, it's really hard to keep them concentrated in a classroom, especially when it's hot outside and they want to go and play. And I always try to make it a little more dynamic and try to make some games from some of them made from existing games that I can find in books. Others, I try to create them by myself. But those are different games than board games, of course. Regarding board games, when I have dinner or get together with friends, sometimes we play board games, of course, in Portuguese. But I believe that the majority of board games that we've seen, the recent ones, they include English words or references to British or American culture. And sometimes my friends don't understand those words. So I explain them what they mean and the context and everything regarding that. And when I was younger, I also played a lot of video games. Well, not anymore, of course, because I just don't have the time and the headspace. And many of them were only available in English or had not been. English has always been a part of gaming. Yes.
Okay, so you were learning even when you didn't realize you were learning. Okay, well, thank you for the introduction.
Yes, of course.
And now,
thank
Gwen,
you so much.
Let's find out about you.
Hi, I'm Gwen. I'm from France. My story with languages started when I was 8 or 9 years old, because that's when English classes started at school in French. But I think I learned English mostly through songs, and so I tend to credit the Spice Girls for teaching me English. after that, I studied English. I got a BA and an MA in languages, and now I'm a translator for English into French. And over the years, I did study a bit of other languages, mainly German and Spanish, but also a bit of different languages, because I was interested in learning the building blocks, for instance, of Italian, Japanese, Russian, American Sign Language. Even like, I was curious about the language, so I did learn a little bit, but not enough to then use it and play in that language. So most of the board games I've played were in French, with in French or English, and most of the time with French people. But last time I was last year and the year before that, my partner and I have gone on holiday with a group of friends, and two of them were French and the other two were Spanish, but the only language we had in common was English. And so we all of our conversations were in English, including when we were playing board games. And so that's probably the experience I'll be talking about today.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back to that because I guess it's different when it's kind of fair when it's nobody's first language. Then you all
Yeah.
have to work together and see what you understand, because I guess there are things that I wouldn't understand. We were talking about, American English and British English. I don't mean the language itself, but some of the cultural references I would really struggle with too. And it's English is my first language, but I don't have a lot of exposure to like American culture, for example. So yeah, it's very, very country specific sometimes that the references, and you either know them or you don't. But we'll get into that in a bit. Let's finish the introductions, Helena.
Yeah, so my name is Helene Gullmann, and I'm originally from Denmark, but I live in Berlin. I am a translator, proofreader, Danish teacher, just a language nerd and expert, I guess. And I think like my journey or my passion for languages started when I was quite little. I was always the first person to get up at home. So I started watching British television. And of course that wasn't dubbed or subtitled or anything. So yeah, I watched that every Saturday morning and got really good at English from a very young age. And then when I was 8 or 9, I stumbled upon a CD-ROM back
I
in
remember those.
the day. Back in those days. And that was for learning Spanish, and I saw that in a bookshop, and I was like, "Oh, I have to have that." And I got that for my birthday, and then I started learning Spanish on my PC at home. So yeah, that's how it all started. And now I live in Germany, so I speak Danish, of course, and English and Spanish and German. And then I have a bit of knowledge, just not as extreme like you, Gwen, but also a bit of knowledge from of French and Swedish and Norwegian. Yeah. So, and regarding board games, I have a bit of a different situation. Like when I moved to Germany, I wanted to get some new contacts, and I signed up for this group. This meetup group. I don't know if you know that organization.
Yeah, we have it here too.
Yeah. So they had a board games group, and I decided to join that. And most games were played in English, and everybody came from all over the world. But also some games were played in German. So yeah, that was very interesting and a nice way to get to know other people.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
interesting that all of you have talked about bringing people together with this activity. What about when you were growing up, were the board games all in Danish, or did you have some in English then as well, or was it?
They were basically always in Danish. There was like growing up in the 90s and 2000s, the like Amazon wasn't there. Like you didn't have access to English board games per se. But in our language classes, like for instance English, our teachers always had like some games that we played in order to like lighten up the mood, like you say, Sonia.
And how was it in France? Were all games in French, or did you ever see other languages, games in other languages as you were growing up?
When I was growing up, I didn't really have anyone to play games in English with, so it wasn't, it wasn't an issue finding games in languages other than French. I didn't try to find any, so I couldn't
Yeah,
tell
neither
you.
did I. When I was growing up, I didn't either. So, okay. So, going back to Sonia, then talking about your students, do you think it It's supposed to be like a fun activity. It's a game, so it's more relaxing. But do you think that actually helps them with English as well? If you're playing English games, do they relax a bit more and then have less fear of speaking, or do they learn new vocabulary? How do you think it helps them?
So you were talking about if the children, if I think they learn something with these games, right?
Yeah, how does it help them to learn?
Well, because it's a more relaxed environment, well, different than studying for a test, for example, or for a presentation, they let loose a little bit, and they seem to remember some words and things that they've learned throughout the school year, because we do this before summer break. But I also notice because well, they are there to have private lessons because they struggle with the language, of course. So well, maybe two or three are they get really good grades, but the others don't. They get like from 0 to 5, they get 3. Yes, that's basically their grades. They come to me for help, and they are expecting my help, but I try to make them think as much as they can before I help them. But I think they learn well, they remember well, not actually learning, because the things they speak or that they write in those games, they've already learned throughout the years. So I think it's more of like a remembering of the things that they've learned, and the things that we've talked about throughout the year, I think.
Okay, so it's like reinforcing what you've done, and then they can do it in a more like a fun, more relaxed way.
I think.
And Gwen, when you were playing games with your multilingual group of friends, did anything surprise you, or like how easy was it for you to use English as this language for communication and for games and things like that? How easy was it to do everything in English?
So for me, I wouldn't say it was difficult because I work with English every day, so it was a bit like cheating, but it was interesting to see how so one of the friends that I was with really doesn't speak English very much, and so she often needed to find ways to say what she wanted to say without knowing the words that she needed. And so it was like, it must have required a ton of energy for her to like keep up with us all the time, but she was having fun with it and she was making puns in English. And it was really cool to see her like how she evolved throughout the week, where fr going from like really struggling to find her words at the beginning and having fluent conversations, even if she was making, mistakes, it didn't matter. I was really impressed with how it went, and it didn't keep her from playing board games at all. She really expressed her usual personality in English, because someone else might have been shy, might have not spoken as much, but she really did not let it be a barrier. So that was really cool. And sorry, that's not really what you were asking me, but
No, I think it
it's
is, because I
important
would
as
have
well,
just,
right?
if that had been me, I don't know, a couple of years ago, like with, I noticed sometimes when I went to Germany, if I didn't know something, I didn't say anything. So I just sat there like, I'm not gonna make myself look stupid, but it also meant I didn't share anything. And if you've got the courage to, I mean, I don't do that now. Maybe, well, not with German anyway. I've moved on to some other languages and have the, but I think it's good when you've got that it's courage, because her focus was on having fun, I guess. Like she was with her friends, she wanted to have a good time, so she did it, and then probably achieved more than she thought she knew. Like when she was playing games later in the week, maybe she was saying more than she thought she could because she was trying. And that sometimes we, especially adults, I don't know, maybe with children they don't think so much about it, but when you're an adult, I think sometimes we overthink things, and then we can prevent ourselves from having fun.
Yeah, we're too worried about what people think about us. And in
Yeah.
that situation, actually had nothing to worry about. So,
Nothing to lose, it's just
yeah,
fun.
it was like a safe place for her as well. I mean, knowing her, even if she were playing with strangers, she would have just been herself. But on top of that, she was really with friends. So
Yeah.
there really wasn't anything to second guess.
That's nice.
But
And
I, sorry, yeah. So I think that's really also the power of board games when it comes to practicing and using language, because practicing language is not the goal there. Like it takes a lot of pressure off. The goal is that either like in a collaborative game, you would try to get the treasure or whatever together, or you have the goal of beating the other people. And so because it's not because it's more of a means than an end and it's on its own, then I feel like a lot of people just are more at ease and don't think overthink things so much. And I think that creates a really nice atmosphere for learning as well.
Yeah, and the point you made there about collaborative games, sometimes we don't think about that, but there are games where people, you only win if you work together with the other people, and it's not all about just like me against everyone else here. It's about working together, and that can really be a good way to build like social skills in another language too, without even thinking about it. But you're relying on each other and you're working together. So if one person is good at one thing, someone else is good at something else, that's good because you've got two strengths in the team.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But how easy do you find it then? Would you suggest that other people who are moving to a new city look for like a board game cafe or a meetup group? Did it help you to meet new people and to make new friends?
Yes, it definitely did. I would recommend it to anybody who has the time and energy. Yeah, and like we had meetups and during the week and sometimes in the weekend and very quickly if I like if you got on with somebody then they also had like they would invite you home and then they would have maybe a different group there and you would be introduced to maybe also some native speakers of the country where you've moved to. So it I would recommend it to anybody if they want to learn a new language or just like get new friends, definitely.
Yeah, and I guess it's also having sometimes it's hard to meet people when you don't have a common goal. Like playing a game is also like a common goal because you're doing an activity together. And sometimes that takes away some of the pressure of like, oh, what are we going to talk about? Because you're talking about what you're doing. It's like giving you a focus that maybe you don't have if you try to make friends in other ways. So I've never done it, but I can see how that does make things easier to make those first connections, and then you can see after that whom you want to see again and whom maybe no.
Well, definitely, because like you sort of get a different view on of people. Like you see them in a different situation and I feel like it's also a really good way to get to know people who are a bit introvert because you have that setting. Like it's not like you have to like have a little monologue about yourself and then you have to ask the other person and all that social pressure in that way. And I don't think that I would have met the friends that I did if I hadn't met them through an activity like that. So that's definitely really cool. One thing I want to say is that you need to then pick the right games because you were talking a bit about cultural references before with like American and English. Like something like Trivial Pursuit is maybe not the best game to play in a country where you don't know the culture really, really well. It's just a little tip.
Yeah, can anyone think of any other games that don't work so well in that way? Like if you've got a group of people and you're just using English as a communication language, can you think of any games that are very culture focused or?
I was about to say the same, but I was thinking about a game that actually, on the contrary, it works because I think it mixes, of course, the game. If I buy it in Portugal, it will be in Portuguese, of course. But it has a lot of references from British English and American English. That is Party and Co. I believe it exists in other countries, no?
I don't know, but that doesn't mean it doesn't.
Well, yes.
There are so many games out there.
Yes, of
I don't know it
course.
either.
Well, I'm not a game expert. It's just the ones I play with my friends. I did not find those games. They actually showed them to me. But that game has a category in which it has questions and like three options to choose, and they often mix things regarding history, American and British, or just normal cultural things. Yes.
I like that idea that you have the three options, because then if you really don't have a clue, you have a 33% chance of still
Yes.
getting the right answer. But if you just have to know the answer, then maybe you have no idea. But it helps you a little bit there that you have the options.
Yes, it's really funny. The dynamic of the game. It's really funny.
Yeah, and how
That's great.
that was more kind of like what not to do, but can anyone think of any things that you've seen how games have been adapted to work in another language or for another country?
I
Like,
got one.
okay. Good.
Scrabble.
Okay.
There's a tradition of playing Scrabble, so in French, in my family on my mother's side. And when I was growing up, I was not interested in playing in French. I wanted to play in English. But the problem is that the letter distribution in the game is based on the language for which it was made. So in, for instance, in French, you only have one W. So there's plenty of
Oh.
English words that you cannot make. And so that's a bit frustrating when you want to play in other languages, but it also shows this kind of adaptation. And I don't know, I thought it was a good example.
Yeah, because like I don't know that there are other like in the English version there is only one Z, and in German that I imagine there are more. I don't know. I don't expect you to know how many Z's there are in Scrabble in German, but it's Z more than
But you
you
can check
think.
online.
Yeah, I bet there are a couple. I actually haven't played that yet with my parents-in-law, but I have it on my list. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess like there are. I always wondered with the German one, is it like, is there a massive board because of all the compound nouns? You know, when you like put lots of words together, do you have this huge?
words.
I don't think that's true, but when I was
Yeah,
younger, I
because
imagined.
the size of the board is limited, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they kept it the same size. Yeah, just have to limit yourself and not use all the really, really cool long, long, long words. Yeah.
Yeah, that was always my. As a child, I found sometimes it was more fun to try and make. We had like the longest word Scrabble, so like you got more points for having extra rules that we made up to make it more kind of geared towards the making longer words to help.
My partner and I sometimes play Scrabbles in French, and we actually have a collaborative approach. And he's going to hate me for saying that, but once we played with my mom and we did not want to keep score because we usually just try to find words and help each other and all that. And my mom said we were cowards because of that. So, but anyway, yeah, I like it when a game, I guess, simple rules, but also lets you make your own. It can be interesting to have this game, which is so competitive, and yeah, make it collaborative. That can be fun.
Yeah, like you're a team and you have to get as high as possible score in the game, but you have to work together and something like that. Or
Yeah, sometimes it's like, so I almost have a Scrabble, but I'm missing one letter. Like I can't place the word on the board. Do you have the letter I'm missing? And so he gives it to me. And that's not how you're supposed to play. But then when he's struggling to place a word, then I can help him as well. So that's nicer than trying to like keep the other person from using the like red cells where you're going to have thrice as many points or
Yeah, it's about working together. But I mean, if you're having fun, isn't that the point anyway? So if you're having fun, then that's
Yeah,
okay.
exactly. There are different ways to be fun. To have fun, sorry.
And
Yeah,
sorry,
I
do you
agree.
ever do any games like with letters or with making words? Do you have any of these type of games in your classroom, like Scrabble or?
We haven't tried Scrabble, but I will register that, and probably next year I will do it with them. It was a nice idea that I didn't remember. But we play, we actually play a game in Portugal. We call it Stop. I don't know if it exists in other countries, but I believe so. I will try to explain the rules. So we make columns, okay, and we say the letters A, B, C, D, but we do not say them out loud. And the other person says stop. And imagine if the letter is B. So beforehand, we made a column with, like, for example, names, animals, countries, plants, objects. And they need to write, to fill in these categories with the word starting with the letter B. And the one who finishes faster says stop. So if I have the same word, imagine in names, I write Bruno. That is a common name here in Portugal. And another person also writes Bruno. Each one of us has five. But if I write Bruno and the other one writes Barbara, that is another common name here in Portugal, we have 10 because we have different words. And then in the end, we make the calculations and see who wins. And I tried to make this game with the kids in English. It's really hard for them. It's really hard, but I tried. They know
I
it's
think,
mandatory.
yeah, I mean, it makes you think about like what words do I know in the other language? Like if it's animals, what animals do I know that begin with that letter or
Yes, or colors. And sometimes they do make up a lot of words, like, trust me.
want
It's really funny.
to
But
win, they're going to use any.
yes, they try everything to win. They're very competitive. And I end up being the judge because when I play, of course, I always win. And they sometimes ask me, "Oh, teacher, come to play." And I say, "Are you sure?" Because for me, of course, it's easier. When I played that game with friends, I always won. I just don't remember one time that I didn't win, actually. Yeah, I really like
But
that game.
may I ask how old they are, the kids that you teach?
Well, they can be from 11 to 14, yeah,
Okay. All
like,
right.
yeah, in average, yes, or 10 to 14, yes.
Yeah. That's cool that they also still want to play regular games.
Yes, they really like that game. Or we have another one that is called Forca. So in the board we write only the spaces regarding a word that we are thinking about. Like imagine if it's, I don't know, orange. So well, I need to count. So orange,
Six.
six letters, sorry. So we write six little spaces on the board, and one person says, okay, A. If the word has an A, we write the word in the specific place, okay? And if it doesn't, we start drawing, like first the face and then the arms of a little man that is being hanged, because
Yeah, we have
Forca
that too.
is the hanging. I don't know what it's called.
It's called Hangman, no?
Oh, okay. So it's similar. It's Forca is a hang the hang mechanism. So
Yeah, I
and
like that too.
the object.
I wanted to ask Kirsty and Ellen, the game, the first game that Sonia described, do you have that also in your name? in your culture? Because it sounds like something we do have in French, which we call le petit bac. And le bac is the final exam at the end of high school. So
Okay.
it's very ambitious, but it's exactly the game that Sonia described.
I don't know the game, but maybe it exists. I haven't seen it here, but we'll probably
I don't
go.
know it from my childhood either. Like, that does mean that it doesn't exist. But I know that they have something like that here in Germany. And they also have something like called city, country, river that people also play when they're on a long car trip.
To keep the children from going, are we really there yet?
Exactly.
You want them to do
Yeah.
something constructive with the time.
Exactly,
Okay.
yes. Yeah.
And right at the end, I'm going to ask a question about recommendations, but I just had a question for Helena about the, do you ever find it frustrating that that things are in English because it's like inclusive, which is good to be inclusive, but if you are wanting to improve, say, your German or something like that, is there a good mix with things in German and things in English, or do you sometimes think, oh, let's do some more German? Or was your German already at the level where you didn't need to think about, oh, I need to work on using it actively?
I think, well, in my case, it was really about meeting people. It wasn't so much about the language at that point, but there were people who made meetup meetings where it was about actually speaking German
Okay.
and playing the games in German. So that was pretty cool that somebody offered that as
Yeah,
an
that's
option.
nice to
Yeah.
have the choice.
Yeah, because as I said, like I really think that it's a really good way of learning. I remember back in the day when I was starting out learning German and like sitting in these adult gatherings, just like trying to listen. And when everybody's talking at the same time, it just takes a long, long time before you actually feel comfortable also participating. And I think that's
Yeah.
really cool with board games. It gives you also a bit more time because, like, especially like I said, in collaborative games, but also in competitive games, everybody has their turn, so you basically have to participate and have your own
And you also
turn.
have to wait. If somebody needs a bit more time, then it's just the way it goes. You give people
Exactly,
the time they need.
yeah. So I think it's a great tool. Yeah.
And Gwen, have you seen board game cafes in France? Is that a thing that the people like to do, or?
I remember in the city I used to live, there was a large place. I thought it was, I think it was an association, like a board game association, where you could become a member and borrow games from there, or you could just play there and meet people. And it was all in French. I mean, maybe some people were playing in other languages, but I didn't see it advertised. But this was not even a cafe. It was like the really the point was playing board games. So that was nice. I'm not sure there's the same thing here. Oh yeah, no, here there's actually a board games bar, because it's not
Okay.
just a cafe. You can get, have a cocktail,
Yeah, we have one of those.
and there are other games too. I mean they have like a pool table and foosball. But it's mostly, yeah, board games. I don't think you can borrow them, but you don't need to be a member. You just pay for the time you spend there, and you can play, yeah, many different games. There are families, students, I mean, people of every age. So that's
Okay,
nice.
sounds cool. And Sonia, I know you play with your friends, but do you know if these opportunities exist in Portugal too? Like the cafe idea to go and meet people, play games?
Well, in my hometown, the town that I live, it's a relatively small town, so we do not have that kind of concept. But I've heard about those kind of cafes in Porto. I think I don't know the context and where the actual place, but I believed I've heard something about these cafes that you can go there and pick a game and play with friends or family or whatever. And I think you can choose from like really a lot of games. So I think it's an interesting concept. I need to find it one day, one of those cafes.
See what it's like.
Yes.
And I know we focused quite a lot on board games because that was our topic, but does anyone have anything they want to add about other types of games?
Well, I wanted to add something that I've thought about that regarding localization. I don't know if you are going to ask us about it a little further in the conversation.
Yeah, let's do it now.
Okay, so regarding localization, I could not think of a specific example, but I recently attended some conferences where there were very interesting presentations about localization, especially in video games. Yes, it's so other types of games. Connected with the Japanese culture, like at least like five presentations that I've seen. So, and I find it interesting because localization is not only about translating words, of course, but also about adapting the experience for people from different cultures. And I believe it's another world per se that is it's worth to explore for people who are interested in this kind of field.
To work in the fields to, you
Sorry?
mean people who want to work in this field
Yes,
as
yes.
translators?
I believe they have a lot to explore in this field. Yes.
Yeah, and I guess cultural references as well that don't make sense if you're going to be making something that's relevant and enjoyable from people of other cultures. I think there's like a balance, isn't there? Because part of it
Yes.
is understanding another person's culture. And having the tools to do that, sometimes you might need a bit more explanation. And then it's when do we change something to make it more relevant to another culture? I guess it's really hard. Like some of those decisions have to be taken at the beginning, like which way you're going to take that. But at the same time, there is also the balance.
Yes, I believe it's hard. So they have to find a balance between the original game, of course, and how it's going to be presented in the target audience or the target country in this case.
Yeah, so they will engage with it and but it will also make sense to them so that they can actually learn something.
Yes, I think it's interesting. Yes.
Does anyone else have anything they want to add about video games or other types of games?
Do you have another hour?
No, we're just coming to the end, but if you've got something you'd like to add, then you can.
Maybe it's we have a topic for another episode.
Yeah, I mean we can always come back. We can always come back if there was someone else who was talking about video games in the other groups, and we could maybe bring her into and then create a new group with people that want to talk about that. It's always
But
good.
if you want to talk about localization, then definitely invite translators who specialize in board games or video game localization because they're going to have a ton of
Yes.
examples and things to share.
Yeah, we had a board game specialist in group one, and actually someone who
Awesome.
works with video games. That's why I was thinking we could, but we didn't really explore that as much. So maybe we'll have another group that talks specifically about video game localization.
That
That
would
could
be
be fun.
interesting.
Also,
All
something I
right.
know nothing about, so I just get to ask the
Well,
questions now, which is
me neither. So
nice.
want to talk.
You'll learn something if you listen to the episode.
Yes, with the one to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally then, just because we are coming to the end, it doesn't matter if you don't have one, but does anyone have any recommendations for the listeners of the podcast? Maybe a game that you like or that you discovered recently or that you think is fun?
Well,
I
can I
think,
start? Oh,
okay, you can
sorry.
start. You
I
can
didn't mean
start.
to interrupt you.
You can start. No
I
worries.
was just about to say the game that I mentioned before, Party and Co. I think it's a really fun dynamic game. It involves not only questions, but like, well, I don't know how to explain it really, but well, another challenge that you need to complete in this game is you and your partner have to guess the same word at the same time and fun things like that. And because they have these references in other languages and regarding aspects of other cultures, I think it's besides being really, really funny, it's a kind of a learning experience because it does not take the whole game, okay? It's easy. But it has some hints about other cultures that I think makes it really, really interesting. Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And Helena, did you have one?
Yes, well, it's a game that I would recommend if you want to, if you're at quite a high level in a language, that will be a challenge for you. It's called Code Names. I don't know if any of you know it.
No.
It's basically there's a lot of silence, but what's interesting about it is that you want to try to get the other person to guess five or I don't know, eight words that you have on your board, and you need to do that by finding some kind of common denominator between these words. So you could maybe group four of them together and find this like fifth word that groups them all together, so that the other person can guess what the words are. So it's a challenge from a linguistic point of view, but also you need to know some culture, and yeah, I think that's a really cool game.
Okay, so more for the advanced learners, but I guess you could make it like a
Yeah.
simplified version if you're a teacher, and then you could make it a bit easier to begin with so you could
Yes.
scare them and then you could go on to the
Yeah,
harder
you could
questions.
make the rules simpler and not make the time limit that short. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's a nice
I
thing
see.
like the Scrabble, you can adapt the rules.
Yeah.
I think the game I was going to talk about, one of the games I played with my friends in English. If I remember correctly, it's called Undercover, and I think it might be like the mobile version of Code Names or something like that. So you
Oh, okay.
each player is given a topic, and you need to think of related words and share one word with a group. And so depending on the word you share, other players are either going to think that you're on their side because you got the same topic, or that you did got a different theme and that you're the enemy. And so you don't know if you're, so it's like citizens versus spies, and you get a topic, but you don't know if you're a spy yourself. And so you want to say something that's related to the word, but you don't want to make it too obvious in case you're a citizen and you spies might guess what your topic is, and then they might use that to make it seem like they're on your side. Or citizens might think that you're saying something that has nothing to do with their topic, and then they're going to think that you're a spy, or they're going to unmask you or something. And so the first challenge in this game, when you're playing in a different language, is understanding the topic you're given. And if you don't, that can really not only ruin your chances of winning, but lead to a really confusing game. And sometimes confusion can be really fun. I know there was one word that, like one word for which we had like three different interpretations in the group. Like we were, I think we were playing, we were five people playing, and there was one word, something like a marsh, or not a pond, but something to do with water. And different people understood it in different ways, and so the words that we said to play had nothing to do with each other. That was really fun.
Yeah, that can create a whole new dynamic. I had a game with some of my with an English group, people doing an English course, and the game was you are not allowed to say You have a word and you're not allowed to say it, and you're also not allowed to say four other related words to your word, but you have to describe it. And it was a false friend, and I didn't realize, or I didn't, well, I should have, I didn't see. And I was like, oh no, because this means something else in German, but if you think it means the same in English and then you describe it that way, then your friends are not going to get the word because it's, yeah.
Yes, well, we in Party and Co, they have that category, and sometimes I look at, imagine if it's like, I don't know, a British soccer player. Well, not, if there are boys playing, of course they will guess it. But if you know the person you are reading and know the person, but you can't, of course, say the name or some forbidden words. What you try to do, what I try to do at least, is like split the words. Okay, imagine it's Jason. Like, try to find references to someone like known in Portugal that is named Jason. I don't know, or and the same thing for the last name. So it's kind of those tricks that you try to find if you think the people that are playing will not understand, will not know who this person is.
You would absolutely have to do that for me for football players because I have no idea. I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another thing about collaboration, though, isn't it? Like thinking, how can I help this person to succeed by doing my part in a different way?
Yes, because you're playing as a team, so your teammates are need to try to guess the words, so you try to do everything you can.
Yeah.
And sometimes the harder you try to find a way, like the most. Like the weirdest way you find to make someone guess something is going to really stick with them because you're going to be laughing. I mean, sometimes when you're playing board games, emotions run high, and emotions to help you remember words and phrases and moments, and so that can be really, really helpful.
That's so true. That's so
Hopefully, good
true.
emotions, not
So
like,
funny.
why did you say that? Hopefully, a good one that
Yeah,
they
and typically,
laugh.
like you, when you're playing a game and like everyone, sometimes people get angry, right? Or like
Yes, of course.
pretend to be angry and start yelling at each other. And then, like,
I
for
do
maybe three hours afterwards, or
that,
like maybe whenever they see each other, like for a few weeks after that, they're going to refer to
must
that
confess.
board game. And so
It's a
that's a
joke.
really good way to make vocabulary stick.
And if it's in
That's
another
funny.
language, is it like, is she joking? Is she serious? I have no idea. Well, that's coming to the end of our session now. So thank you, everyone. You've all got very different experiences. Thank you to everyone for coming and for being part of this episode. It's been good to get to know you better. And please don't disappear because we need to take a photo. But I just want to thank you all for being here and for sharing your ideas. And hopefully we've given some of the listeners new ideas for how to have fun with other languages as well. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
Thank
you.
you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.